Albert Einstein, the man who was responsible for the theory of relativity.
The release of atomic power has changed everything except our way of thinking. The solution to this problem lies in the heart of mankind. If only I had known, I would have become a watchmaker. I was born on the 4th of March, 1876, in Ulm, Germany. And 2 years later, we moved to Munich. When I was 5 years old, my parents gave me a compass. I was already interested in travel and wanted to explore. But unlike others who thought about touring from one country to another, what I wanted was to discover other galaxies. The compass was to me what a teddy bear might have been to another child, and I always carried it with me. I was a child who did not speak very much. This worried my parents, especially my father. He was a salesman with a natural talent with words and did not understand why I was not like him. But I was more introverted than my parents, and I preferred my own company to that of others. I would sit by myself for hours and read books, many books. My parents also thought it was important to be well educated. I, however, did things my own way. And when I was about 10, I started to plan my own education. Science was at the very top of my list. Every week, my parents would invite Max Talmai, a poor medical student from Poland, to lunch. He introduced me to books on science and mathematics. Experiments in physics and chemistry fascinated me. And to me, mathematics was a beautiful language. At school, we had to learn things by heart, which made it all so boring. And we were punished if we didn't remember everything the teachers told us. I knew there had to be a better way of learning than that. In 1891, when I was 15 years old, we moved to Pavia, Italy. I now had to learn a new language, and I knew that sitting in a classroom was not the way to do it. I learned Italian by meeting people, talking in cafes, and doing little jobs. I wanted to learn about technical subjects, but I didn't have good enough grades to get into the local school. Instead, I went to Aarau in Switzerland to finish high school. And then I enrolled at the Federal Polytechnic in Zurich. That year, I gave up my German citizenship. And for the next few years, I did not belong to any country. I had been born into a Jewish family, but I didn't like the rules that religion forced people to follow. I couldn't see why we had to lead the lives chosen for us by our parents, so I gave up Judaism. At college, I noticed an attractive girl called Mileva Maric, who had just arrived from Serbia. She had some problems in speaking Swiss German, which I was able to help her with, and we also studied together. We became close friends. At the age of 22, I decided to apply for and was given Swiss citizenship. I was supposed to do my military service, but because of a few physical problems, which were not serious, I was excused. This suited me extremely well, as thoughts were more important to me than physical action. I returned to Italy for a while to stay with my parents, and Mileva came with me. My parents welcomed her as part of the family, and we lived with them. I wanted to become a physics teacher, but did not have the necessary qualifications, so I applied to be a patent examiner instead. A patent is a document that gives you the right to make or sell a new invention. I was given a job by the Swiss Patent Office. This meant I now had a steady income and could set up a home in Bern. so I asked Mileva to marry me. Being married was the start of a new way of life for me, and within a year, our son Hans Albert was born. My home, life, work and research were all moving fast. After work in the evening, I would study physics and always discussed my ideas with my friend, Michele Besso. He was an excellent listener, asking questions that really made me think deeply. We started our own organization called the Olympia Academy. We had to, because nobody else would take us seriously. There was no money for me to set up a laboratory. So I studied research that had already been published and then coordinated all the results. This actually suited me, because I believed that evidence was better than opinion. Since I was no better with words now than when I was a child, I preferred something that was both solid and abstract. Words had many different meanings and interpretations, but symbols were real to me. It was obvious that we were part of a universe that was beyond words. How could we describe what we could not see? How could we see what we could not measure? Yet it was quite clear that we were influenced by these unseen forces. Our tides moved with the moon, and our earth with the sun. Beyond that, there was the cosmos, the universe, working to its own timetable. I was working on the relationship between time, space, and movement, which later became known as the theory of relativity. I wrote four papers about it, one of which was published in a leading German physics publication. Then, at the age of 26, I proposed the equation E equals mc squared. This meant that if you measured the mass of any object and multiplied it by the speed of light, you discovered the amount of energy it could produce. Previously, scientists had thought that there was no relation between mass and energy. The response, as I expected, was huge, with a great deal of discussion taking place. Before long, professors at various universities wanted to meet me. To me, it was amazing that my work should be recognized, considering that I had been an average student and had never really followed a formal system of education. However, studying mainly by myself had its advantages. I was able to think in a wider way, allowing me to form my theories. Academic job offers started coming in, and I worked for a time in Zurich. At home, we celebrated the birth of our second son, Eduard. But unfortunately, our marriage was not going well. I did some of my best work at night. I would watch the stars and see the sunrise, and it seemed that the light from the stars was bending towards the sun. I published my findings in 1911, but not many people believed what I was suggesting. My tutors at Zurich did recognize the research, however, and later that year I became a full professor, the most senior type of professor, at the German University in Prague, and was also given a job at the Prussian Academy of Science in Berlin. Mileva didn't want to live in Berlin, and so I went there on my own. I shared a house with my cousin, Elsa Löwenthal. Elsa was very interested in my work, and we became close friends. Mileva was not happy about this relationship, and when she eventually came to Berlin, it was obvious that our marriage was over. Mileva took our sons and left. After a 2-year separation that was full of bitter disagreements, we decided to get divorced. In the meantime, the First World War had started, but I was able to continue with my research work, and I published On the General Theory of Relativity. Before the divorce became final, Mileva had heard that I might win a Nobel Prize. She insisted that she would get the prize money so that she wouldn't have to worry about how she and our sons were going to survive. Naturally, I agreed. But I found this whole period extremely stressful, and I was not at all well. Elsa nursed me through my illness, and once I had recovered, we decided to get married. Then, in 1919, a chance to test my theory of relativity happened when there was an eclipse of the sun. My ideas were supported, and those of Newton's were questioned. During that time, my work on cosmology, the study of how the universe was made, was published. Invitations came flooding in from all over the world as people wanted to hear my views. In 1922, the Nobel Prize for Physics was awarded to me. The cash prize, as agreed, was sent to Mileva, who bought some property with it. My work continued, and the Einstein Institute in Potsdam was opened in 1924. I was interested in learning more about quantum mechanics, which is the study of atoms. These are the smallest parts of an element. And working with Niels Bohr, significant advances were made. After several years of travelling and working non-stop, I started to feel unwell again. Doctors said it was mental stress that was making me feel ill. The Great Depression brought poverty and despair to many, and money for research was more difficult to find. Added to that was the rise of Nazism in Germany. In particular, Jews were under attack, and I could not work there. I may have given up my religion, but on paper I was still Jewish. So we made arrangements for me to take a job in the USA. Elsa and I arrived there in 1933, and I started work at the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton. Soon, I noticed that Elsa was not very well. The doctors were unable to help her, and in 1936, she died. More sad news was coming from Germany, where many Jews had already been killed. In the meantime, scientists had been able to split the atom. And it was recognized that the results, tiny pieces of radioactive material, had the potential to release huge amounts of nuclear energy in the form of a new deadly weapon, the atom bomb. In 1939, a friend of mine, Leo Szilard, who was a Hungarian physicist, wrote to President Roosevelt in the USA with the horrible warning that Germany might be making this new weapon. He wrote that for its own protection, the USA ought to start work immediately and make an American atomic bomb. Szilard was not well known outside the scientific community, and President Roosevelt did not take him seriously. Leo asked me to write as well, and this time the president took notice of what we were saying. As a result, a top-secret research program called the Manhattan Project was started in a hurry and at huge expense to the government. I was not invited to take part in the bomb's development, as I was viewed as being a security risk. In 1940, I became an American citizen. As I continued my work, I listened with horror to what was happening in the war. In Europe, millions were dying in the gas chambers and concentration camps. What could be done from so far away? One way was to find ways of defeating the country of my birth. Another was to raise money for Jewish charities. This I could do. In 1944, I rewrote my 1905 theory and raised $6 million. By 1945, the world's first atomic bomb had been made. And although it had been created to use against Nazi Germany, the war in Europe ended, and the atomic bomb was not needed. However, the war in Asia against the Japanese was still in progress. On the 6th of August 1945, an atomic bomb was dropped on the city of Hiroshima. And on the 9th of August, a second one was released over Nagasaki, resulting in the end of the Second World War. When we saw the horrific injuries of the people that had been in the two cities, I knew we had to do something to prevent any future use of atomic weapons. In 1946, Szilard and I started the Emergency Committee of Atomic Scientists, and we invited six other scientists to join us. The committee raised money which was spent on informing ordinary people about the effects of radiation from the atomic bombs. We hoped that we could prevent any more bombs from ever being tested or used. By 1951, I was exhausted by the amount of work I had and decided to end the committee. But this did not mean that its message was no longer being given to people. One of the members was Linus Pauling, who tirelessly continued to campaign for the end of nuclear testing and for nuclear disarmament for many years. Once the war was over, we all breathed a sigh of relief, but further problems were to hit me. My son, Eduard, became ill and died in hospital. Mileva had been paying for his care, with the result that not only did she have no money, she had also run up large debts. I decided to help, but in a mix-up, 85,000 Swiss francs of my money went into her account. Legally, she had the right to keep the money, which of course she did. I didn't try to get the money back. When my other son and his family also moved to the USA, Mileva came with them. But we did not start our life together again, and in 1953, she became ill and died. My own energies were becoming weak, and 2 years later, I too died. My life had not been easy. One thing was sure, though. I had come up with the theory of relativity that changed perceptions and would set the agenda for a new age.